with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to the Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports. I'm Paul Pabst. He's Andrew Perloff. We're on the campus of Sacred Heart University, Andrew, which brings me to a topic that I'm going to wait about 3 minutes to give to you because I was thinking about it the entire drive here. But it's coaching season. It's the time when we churn through the old names, the new names, and teams pick their coaches. We get excited.
Coaching carousel.
Carousel, as they call it. And what's happened lately?
Oh, man, where do I start?
Start out west.
Well, can I tell you, the most impactful hire, and it's not even close, is Cliff Kingsbury.
Impactful.
Impactful because, like, the way people want to talk about it, because Kingsbury is such a figure.
He's easy to cover. He's easy to recognize.
Yeah. We talked about Kingsbury more than maybe any coach compared to what he did on the field over the last 10 years.
He's a social media coach.
Yeah, he's the
ultimate. He's known for social media.
He's the ultimate bro coach. His hair.
More than Lane Kiffin? More bro than Lane Kiffin?
You know, but Lane Kiffin has been keeping it kind of quiet lately.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Lane Kiffin's up there. No, I think Kingsbury surpasses him.
He's the Zac Efron of coaches, where he's like, he's the best looking one by far. I think he's better looking than Sean McVay, flat out.
Oh, definitely. Or is he Ryan Gosling, who also has the looks and the acting chops? So does he have the coaching chops? Because
so McVay's like Gosling, where he's critically acclaimed and stunningly good looking?
Yes, exactly. Well, no, that's what they hope for.
Oh,
is he
okay.
More Zac Efron, who, by the way, was awesome in Neighbors? Can I just say
he's pre-Neighbors Zac Efron, where he hasn't done a lot yet? Because, like, Zac Efron's comedy chops are great. Did you ever see a movie called Parkland? It's about Parkland Hospital.
I've heard of it.
And President Kennedy. Zac Efron plays a doctor at the hospital. It's a pretty serious movie, obviously, because it's about JFK.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
Zac Efron played a doctor in a movie about JFK's assassination?
I've seen it. It's called Parkland. Am I wrong here? Can you Google this? It's a pretty serious movie. And Zac Efron.
You sure you're not talking about Parks and Recreation?
No, he keeps his shirt and like a doctor's lab coat on the entire time.
That is unbelievable. That's really cool.
All right, let's go to the coach.
See what I mean about Cliff Kingsbury? He is just fascinating.
Yeah, we forgot about everything.
But by the way, all right, let's go one by one. First of all, let me just say that no one has any idea how any coach is going to do. If you Google historically any ranking the coaching hires, they're almost diametrically wrong every time.
Right.
Chip Kelly was the greatest hire of all time, and Doug Peterson was the worst hire. And it never works out the way we expect.
Right. Like Doug Peterson, I remember Bill saying, this guy has not coached on a major level. Yeah. Wasn't he coaching high school 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And now he's got a ring.
Frank Reich was the last choice by the call. He was the last coach to get hired. Like
he was the emergency plan.
Exactly. So we have no idea. Now, okay, let me ask you about the Cardinals, because I'm a little fascinated with this. They had Larry Fitzgerald. We'll see what happens there. But they had David Johnson, the star running back. Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And Patrick Peterson, maybe the best cornerback in the league. So that's a great example to me where talent doesn't necessarily win in the NFL.
Not deep talent. They've got like four guys you can name and then 40 guys you can't.
But how do you know it's not that they're good guys? Yeah, no, you're right. You can't name them. But they might have a lot more talent than we thought. They might have just been poorly coached last year.
My thought on the Cardinals this year is that Josh Rosen did not even have one game where he just exploded and made us pay attention to him. He was below average from wire to wire and got roughed up. So you didn't talk about them. You didn't even talk about Larry Fitzgerald except to say, like, I feel bad for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and Larry Fitzgerald should be a Patriot. So should Patrick Peterson. Let them have a chance to win. So that's an interesting talent base. David Johnson, by the way.
Absolutely. What about David Johnson?
David Johnson is the most mysterious fantasy player in the history of the world. Remember we were all about him like 2 years ago?
He's kind of like Chris Johnson, the running back of the Titans 7 years ago when he ran for 2,000. The next year, I think he ran for 900.
Yeah. All right. What other vacancies we got?
Well, I think we should talk about like the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
You got to have a tagline for the coach.
Okay.
It's heating up in the desert and a picture of Cliff Kingsbury shirtless.
Yeah.
In the Arizona Republic.
It's heating. Wait, I don't know if he goes shirtless. I don't even think he needs shirtless because the hair alone is hot.
Brown's cooking up a new plan. Freddie Kitchens.
Ooh.
Freddie Kitchen.
Yeah.
That's easy, right? Yeah. Pithy.
Vic Fangio, former Bears defensive coordinator, takes a Broncos fan. How about a Broncos job? How about it's time to become a Fangio again?
A Fangio again. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for humoring me.
Fangs out.
Fangs out. Yeah.
Vic's going to...
But he's kind of older, so like it's going to make it seem like you hired Dracula as your coach. He's like... Oh, quick fact about Vic Fangio. You're like, guess what his first job was? USFL.
Oh.
Philadelphia's Stars.
Philadelphia Stars. Chuck Fucina, Kelvin Bryant.
Chuck Fucina. Jim Mora was the head coach. Yeah, I thought you would like that. That was 1984. Now, just for some perspective, Sean McVay was born in 1986.
Wow.
So Vic Fangio, get your fangs out. It's going to make him look like an old vampire.
Okay, so the Jets don't have a coach. The Bengals?
Do not have a coach. Although everyone thinks they're going to go Hugh Jackson, Vance Joseph, and some combo.
Oh, are you kidding? They're going to hire Hugh Jackson? Like, what?
It'd be like, no, I don't know if that's definitely going to happen, but that's a rumor of the possibility.
It'd be like a stockbroker who lost his client's money for 3 years. And he's up on the market, and we got to get this guy. We got to get a hold of this guy who just lost everybody money for 3 years.
I am the only one.
Hugh Jackson seems like a very nice person.
I can make a case for Hugh Jackson.
Go ahead.
In 2015, I believe, it was Hugh Jackson's last year as offensive coordinator for the Bengals. Andy Dalton looked like an MVP before he hurt his
career. Fair enough.
He has a way of making A.J. Green play his best. So they were good on offense. This year, no one knows this, but he came in as a defensive specialist. The Bengals fixed their defense under him in the second half.
Should Hugh Jackson be a coordinator?
Yes. Well, I think so. But it's interesting. He's played both roles in Cincinnati. So, no, it's a bizarre hire. Vance Joseph, by the way, is coming off a tough year in Denver. That's not exactly – no one else is talking to him, but he used to be a coach there. That's a weird franchise.
By the way, what's his name? Cliff Kingsbury. He's single. Probably moving to Scottsdale, Arizona. Holy cow, man. He has no idea what he's in for.
I heard
– I've lived in a lot of places in America, truthfully. New York City I've lived in. I've lived in Chicago. I've never seen a more social, party, wild town than Scottsdale, Arizona. People think it's a retiring community. It's not.
You know, I heard that Kingsbury used to leave Lubbock, Texas, and go to Las Vegas on weekends and stuff like that.
He won't have to.
Yeah, now he's there, basically. You know,
he's going to miss a lot of practices. Like, you know, he's just been calling sick.
I don't buy the single thing. I think he's still recruiting with that. I'll bet you he's got a girlfriend at home, and he's just saying that to get recruits' mothers to come to the – as he said on the Dan Patrick show.
But now he can't do that anymore, which brings me to my topic. We've talked about this before on the show. From a lifestyle standpoint, would you rather be a pro coach or a college coach?
Okay.
In theory, I think I'd rather be a college coach. I like college towns.
Are you a family man, kind of like you are now? You have a family?
Yeah, I'd say so. Let's just say you're 40 and you have a couple kids.
Yeah.
A couple young kids and a wife.
Like what a lot of coaches are.
Yeah,
exactly.
42 years old
and
got a wife and kids. Would you rather be a pro coach or a college coach? In theory, I'd like to be a college coach. I like college towns. I like the college atmosphere of the game, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want to base my livelihood off the whims and bad decisions of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
That's frustrating.
It's scary to me.
What if you have, you know, they say that college football coaches have a little more control coaching-wise because the players are younger and more coachable.
That I think is true. I think during practice, it's great. I think during practice, you're the boss. No one questions you. If you're winning, no one tells you what to do. But can you imagine driving around in southern Tennessee, talking to some kid and his mom, and you're driving back going, I hope he says yes to me.
Oh, that's terrible.
And you're like 50 years old, and you're like, I hope this 17-year-old says yes to me.
You're a salesman.
You're a salesman. That's all. Like, Nick Saban is out on the recruiting trail yesterday. That's what his people said.
That part is miserable. I like the living in college town. If you ever look at the list of U.S. News World Report best cities to live in, it's always like Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Totally with that. But the other fact is you have 95 kids you're hoping don't get in trouble over the course of the season. It seems like, I don't know, pro players or NFL players get in more trouble, law trouble.
NFL players?
NFL or college.
Oh, college.
Yeah.
But college is not
as publicized.
Not news report worthy. Like you'll get drunk driving or like public intoxication.
What do you think you would do lifestyle wise?
You know, lifestyle, the NFL is a bit of a grind. That part concerns me. I think college coaches don't work at coaching as hard.
Maybe the offseason though is tougher. Because like the NFL offseason, you got to go scout, you got to go to the combine, you have to go to the draft, but you have a salary cap. There's rules in place that keep it kind of even.
That's true. Yeah, I think the way
if you're the Vandy head coach, you're never winning the national title.
Yeah, I would probably go NFL. But am I an assistant coach or head coach? Because head coach, you're going to get fired in a year in NFL.
Right.
Which is okay. I think I would lean NFL because you talked me out of recruiting.
That seems
odd. But if you're a head coach, you have your assistants recruit, and you only go in as the
hammer. Closer?
Yeah.
But can you do that if you're the Kentucky head coach trying to keep your head above water in the SEC?
Temple or Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to work. No, I'd rather be like a defensive coordinator with the Texans and like...
Ooh.
Yeah, it depends what city.
What would be the cushiest coaching job in sports? Special teams for the Ravens with Justin Tucker?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
That's cushy.
Special teams coaches are getting a lot of attention right now. There's a couple. You know who has amazing special teams and could, I predict, I'm going to jump ahead to the games. The LA Chargers have a great special teams unit. They are really, really good at special. A lot of good teams are really good at special. Don't underestimate special teams coaches. John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick, both special teams coaches.
Let's go to the games real quick. Chargers, Patriots, if you had to pick, straight up, not no line.
I'm taking Chargers.
You've been staying with them for a while now.
Yeah, I don't know the Patriots. I don't know what Patriot team is going to show up. Eyeballing it, don't you think the Chargers are way more talented? Just look at the receivers.
I do, but what bothers me even just the other day and chronically about the Chargers is that they find a way to take a lead and give it up.
Yeah.
And they did it a little bit to Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely.
And Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady, let's put it this way. If it's a 14-point game going into the fourth quarter and the Chargers are up on the Patriots, I would be worried if I'm a Charger fan.
The Chargers are good from behind, though. Remember, they were trailing the Steelers by a ton, and they came back and beat them. They were trailing. They won two, and they were trailing. What was the other? They had a OKC. They came back and beat Kansas City in Kansas City. They're tough, although the snow could affect that.
All right. Eagles, Saints.
Blowout.
Blowout by the Saints?
I think so.
They don't have enough DBs. Or they have enough, technically, enough DBs on Philly.
Yeah. Well, their DBs are inexperienced. Doesn't it feel like the Eagles kind of won a Super Bowl last week? Like, I just felt, by the way, I just do not, we're going to kill this tape after this goes out. In case I'm
we're not posting. This is just okay. In-house.
Just, yeah, don't you feel, how do you feel about that game?
Oh, as a Bear fan?
No, the Saints, Eagles.
I think that Drew Brees, with a week to watch the tape of the young defensive backs for the Eagles, he's going to be looking at those guys saying, all we got to do is throw a few out patterns. And then send Michael Thomas long, and we're going to get a couple of those.
Yeah, and then the Saints can always hammer you with Kamara and Ingram. The thing about the Eagles, too, though, Foles does make me nervous. That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Make me nervous like he could do it again magically.
I think he'll put up points on the Saints. The Saints are a good defense, but not great. The one thing I'd be concerned about if I were Drew Brees is their pass rush. Fletcher Cox is huge.
Yeah.
He's so underrated. He's probably top three most underrated players in the league.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge all-pro. Timmy Jernigan, I believe, is back. He's a really good player. But the Saints aren't vulnerable to pass rush. You can't get to Drew Brees. He's so smart.
Yeah, in theory.
In theory. You know, the Saints have played really badly the second half of the season. They've played dead fumbles, interceptions. All those good teams are struggling a little bit.
All right, let's go to Dallas Cowboys at the Rams. I think a lot of people are jumping off the Rams bandwagon. Yeah. Is that what you're hearing?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading. It's one of those games I've been swayed by the expert analysis, and I'm dead heat. I might be leaning Cowboys.
It's a 7-point spread.
Is it that much?
Yes, it's 7 points.
So I think it went up then.
It's the second biggest spread of the weekend.
Okay, the Cowboys can run the ball. If the Cowboys get a lead and they can use Elliott and that defense can swarm, do the Rams scare you right now? The way the Rams were playing at the end of the season, they didn't scare
you. See, I like the Rams' run defense more than I like their pass defense, even though they've got Peters and Tlaib.
I don't think either of those units is any good.
Aaron Donald is going to be chasing Zeke Elliott all day.
Don't you feel like the Cowboys? But I don't totally trust Jason Garrett. I'm going to pick the Cowboys for the purposes of this podcast.
Wow, that's hot.
Yeah.
That's white hot. All right, my Chiefs at, actually, your Chiefs. You're not on the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are not.
You've been poo-pooing the Chiefs.
That's my Andy Reid Eagles fan DNA is in me, where we always see the other foot is going to fall. Because, for years, Andy Reid couldn't win the big game. So he's such a great play caller, but it always fizzles out.
I kind of want to see a Colts-Eagles Super Bowl.
Just
two nerdy, quiet quarterbacks not saying anything for a week and a half.
Frank Reich against Doug Peterson. Two nerdy, quiet coaches with facial hair. I'm definitely picking the Colts.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're not alone. A lot of experts are like, whoa.
But here's the thing, though. I think we're rooting for the Colts. You can't help but root for Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
He is such a gork. That's right up our alley.
The last 10 games, though, the Colts are 9-1 and the Chiefs are 7-3, and not an impressive 7-3. The Colts are playing way better football.
Does the MVP voting for league MVP voting happen before or after the playoffs?
Before.
Because Andrew Luck, if he wins one more game, he should be top three for MVP.
Yeah. I feel like he'll be top five maybe anyway at 39 touchdowns.
I think everyone's going to give him comeback player of the year and save the other awards for others.
I always say hand it out at the end of the season, but people say that there's too much emphasis on it.
Because look at, Andrew Luck, one of his wide receivers was a running back last year in college, and he got moved to wide receiver. Najee
Hines. Yeah.
He's not wide receiver, basically.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack was.
He's sort of scrubs. It's unbelievable. Marlon Mack is very good, but
right.
He's actually seems like the most talented out of that whole skill group. But the guys he's throwing to besides T.Y. Hilton, they're like, who's that guy?
The other guy who's a big beneficiary this year is Quentin Nelson, the offensive guard.
Yeah.
He's going to be the most famous offensive lineman in the league in about 10 minutes because his story is great. He went to Notre Dame, so he came in a little known. He's with Andrew Luck. He's pancaking people. People are showing his
highlights. Big-time people like Jadeveon Clowney.
Right, and he's it's almost like the gold glove. Once you make first-team All-Pro, someone has to knock you out of it. So this guy, there's a path for him to go down as one of the great linemen in league history. He's on step one of that.
You're so right. He feels like a Hall of Famer right now. And you know what? I kind of felt like that. We talked about, you and I did, about him. He felt like he was set up to do this. Like, we knew he was going to be awesome.
I remember when we were talking about the draft and we were discussing what we would do. I said if that were the Browns, I'd take Quentin Nelson first. And I think I said I'd take Bradley Chubb fourth. If I remember right, what I thought I wanted the Browns to do. Because I was like, if you could have the best offensive lineman in football and a great pass rusher to go with Miles Garrett, then the quarterback could be less important. Now, Baker Mayfield's proved that to be a tough call to knock what they did with Mayfield. Even right now, you can't knock it. 5 years from now, you might be able to.
Yeah, well, and Denzel Ward's probably a much better player than Bradley Chubb.
And people were like, Denzel Ward, you took him higher than he should be.
He's a shutdown. Can I just say, Bradley Chubb, and since no one except you and I are talking here, he's the A-Rod of sacks in the NFL.
Oh, is he a vulture?
Oh, he would be. You know, they'd be up by 14 points with a minute left and he'd get a sack, or they'd be down by 21 points with 2 minutes left.
His stats are chubbed up?
His stats, first of all, you could run right over him. Like the defense, the Broncos, everyone thinks they have a great defense because they get sacks. They were a bottom third defense. Chubb is not that good yet. He's a rookie. There are a lot of, Derwin James, by the way, people talk about with the Chargers. People have consistently been on him.
Is he all pro?
He might be. We'll double check.
I know he made the Pro Bowl. I don't know if he made all pro.
You know, that they have another guy, Desmond King, who I think made all pro.
Was he out of Iowa?
I believe so.
Good
defensive back. So they I have to check that. But this was a great rookie class, which is ironic. Because when we're done this topic, I want to talk to you about the draft.
Can you imagine if the Chargers won the Super Bowl outside of San Diego?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be such a crushing
brutal.
That fan base. They have to go back to just enjoying the weather. What do you got?
Okay, so this year's draft was awesome. We talk about,
speaking of drafts real quick, as always, the Leisureman Podcast brought to you by Guinness. Guinness draft at your local pub. Guinness you can get at your local package store and bring some home for the holidays. I actually saw this 4-pack of Guinness, like a variety pack. It had Antwerpen Stout, Guinness Extra Special Stout, I think it was, and two others, like maybe Blonde. I got to check what it was.
Wow, that's fun.
Yeah, they had two left at my local package store, and I bought both of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm a bit of a hoarder. Go get some Guinness at your local package store right now. All right, what do you got for the draft?
So this year's draft was awesome. It had Denzel Ward. It had Bradley Chubb. Mm-hmm. It had, Philip Lindsay was undrafted, but Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. The upcoming draft is a completely different animal. It is so boring.
Mm.
I'm even hearing teams are considering trading their picks away to wait for next year because there's no quarterbacks. There's no skill position players. It is blah.
It is weird because there's not even really running backs.
There are no running backs.
There's a couple wide receivers.
Yeah.
No one that are household names.
Exactly.
It's going to be a lot of defensive tackles taken early.
It's all like, who wants to see who? And your team takes a defensive tackle out of whatever.
I want Ed Oliver, though.
Do you, though?
I do. I'm excited about it, but I'm a nerd. I'm a football nerd. How about this, though? If Kyler Murray declares, it changes everything for...
The draft is more fun, but no one's taking him in the first round.
Well, but day two of the draft is off the charts.
Yeah, you're right. We need Kyler Murray in the draft.
Just for our purposes.
I pitched earlier this week, what about Kyler Murray going back to Oklahoma, as some people are tweeting. Does that sound... Actually, when I said that, it was a Gil Brandt tweet. You look cross-eyed. You're like, he would return to Oklahoma? Why?
If you're going to play football, you play for pay. Because if he goes to the pros, he can sign deals. He could keep his A's option open. He could be the new two-sport star. He could do all that marketing around it. You go back to Oklahoma, you take the beating. You can't get hotter than you were this year. He was a hot topic, and we don't like to churn a topic again. We hate repeating topics.
You feel a little like Lamar Jackson, who won the Heisman, then came back
and
got no attention whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Although, but Lamar Jackson still won in the first round, so maybe it helps. Kyler hasn't played that much quarterback.
Kyler Murray should give them nothing to critique football-wise, because now he's like this really good, a bit of a mystery of what he could be. If you had a better week's pay, do you think he'll be in the 2019 draft?
Probably not. I think he goes. I think the most obvious answer is he still goes baseball.
I wonder if he has people. Like, does he have an agent already? Because he plays. Does he have like a baseball agent?
Probably Scott Boras.
But I, what if you? What
he
if
his, does? He must.
I wonder if his agent. I'm really thinking about this. I wonder if his agent tells him, you know, I know you want to play baseball, but baseball, I can't get you all these endorsements until you hit 325 and have 40 stolen bases or whatever he's supposed to be, right?
Exactly.
I can't get you those. But if you go in the NFL now, I can get you Adidas, I can get you Under Armour, I can get you Nike, I can get you all those deals right off the bat.
Yeah.
So you'll be set for life endorsement-wise, and you always keep baseball out there to go play in the offseason. And as soon as February's up, you go play.
So, yeah. No, you
can make a lot of money marketing
as a
two-sport star.
You make a great point. So, the latest report for December is Scott Boras, Kyler Murray's baseball agent, said he will not play football.
Well, I would want to keep it out there as that. The more you deny it, the more we want it.
That's interesting. I would love to see it, by the way.
If you lend credibility to it, that it's almost like opening a present too early. I look at Kyler Murray as young, fast, athletic. You know, he's not going to be able to do this at age 30 in the NFL probably, but at age 22, he could be awesome, or at least someone would give him a shot. He's so hot right now. And if it doesn't work out, the A's are going to learn. You know, like he wasn't going to be called up. Chris Bryant wasn't called up until he was 23, 24.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Harper is the anomaly. So if he goes to play baseball or football for 3 years and decides at age 25, now I'll play baseball. I'm sorry. If he goes to play football for 3 years and age 25 says, I did my best, I'm going to baseball. The money will still be there.
Kind of like the anti-Chris Wienke who did the opposite.
Yeah. I think that's what he's going to do. I think there's a bunch of front-end marketing money coming.
One thing on this year's draft is quarterback week. Next year's draft should be quarterback heavier. I know you're going to say we always say that, but next year, you think about it. You got Tua. You got Jake Fromm. I don't know if he's a first-runner. You got Jacob Eason. I think it's Jacob Eason in Washington, the guy, the former Georgia guy. You got guys who are on mock drafts. I'm not saying that I'm positive they're first-rounders, but there's a lot of names. So it feels like this year, after Haskins, then it's wide open. And I would love to see it.
All right. What else you want to talk about today? What do you got?
All right. So it's playoff time. We got the draft coming up. It's getting close, Paul. It's almost Super Bowl time. Are you feeling some of the Super Bowl buzz yet? Are you getting into the fact that we're headed to Atlanta in 15 days?
Not really yet, because Atlanta is not a destination that's extreme in any way. And it's not a bad town at all. I've been there before. It's fine. But when you go to like Minnesota, to me, what felt like an event last year.
Yeah.
We're going to spend, I think we were there, 10 or 11 days?
Yeah.
We were in Minnesota in butt cold weather for 10 days, and it was an experience. You and I went ice fishing. We went played hockey outdoors with some locals. We got roughed up. It was an event because of the cold. And Atlanta is the opposite of that. It's a very midway city of heat and cold.
Yeah.
It's probably 55 and sunny every day we're there.
I think they had one Super Bowl with snow where it got cold.
There was ice.
I worry about that with Dallas.
So, yeah, of course, I'm jinxing it. But there's nothing. They've got some good food down there, but you have to get out of the city.
Like, think of some of the Super Bowl cities coming up. Miami, Los Angeles, Vegas will definitely be coming down the road. Like, those are events. You know, and this is so sad, and I'm going to let you behind the curtain here. Like, getting a free trip to the Super Bowl is an important part of, like, a sports industry. Like, people.
It's one of the biggest perks of working in the sports media.
Right. So when they get Vegas eventually as a Super Bowl, are we still going to be, you know, maybe it's 10 years from now. Like, at what point are we too, you know, when are we going to be aged out of that Super Bowl?
Well, I can't think of any two guys who are going to embrace Vegas less than you and I.
That's true.
And I can kind of get after it on occasion, but I don't like to gamble too much. I don't like to drink too much, and that Vegas is about excesses. So what are we going to do? We're going to go find a nice barbecue place outside of...
I don't drink at all. I have fun in Vegas because there's always something to see.
It's always lively.
It's easy to get around. There's a lot of events. I don't know. You and I could tear up Vegas.
I don't think we'd tear up.
You were there, you were on like a racetrack and you were like, trust me, you and I... I'm trying to think of things to do in Atlanta. Vegas, we have a million things to do. Ride that roller coaster. There's so much to do in Vegas. It's like a kid's town these days.
Oh, I don't know. It's not.
I think we're going to own the Vegas Super Bowl.
See, Atlanta's more for us. We could find a few barbecue places on the outside of town, do a little loop tour of the
No, we're going to rebrand ourselves as like a Rat Pack kind of thing.
Oh.
By Vegas. Yeah. It's going to be like an Ocean's 11 kind of.
Maybe the Dan Patrick Show should be in black and white that week and have like cool music.
Actually, Ocean's 11 is in color. isn't it?
That, by the way, that movie sucks.
Wait, which version? The Frank Sinatra
version?
No,
the new Ocean's 11, the current one with Clooney and all those.
Oh, my God.
And I like Clooney. I like Pitt. I like Matt Damon quite a bit. That movie stinks.
You're out of your mind.
It's the most useless waste of cinematography.
Steven Soderbergh, he's one of the great all-time directors.
Yeah, sure. It,
you don't think Brad Pitt's cool in that?
Yes, he's very cool in that. It looked like the goal of that movie is to see how crispy we get Brad Pitt's shirts and suits.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as long as his shirt...
And what's wrong with that?
Right, but I mean, there was a plot, and then at the end, remember, they kind of show them stealing everything quickly, and then they get out and get away with it. And then they do about 30 different shots where they go past the 11 guys to fill another 30 seconds of screen time. Watch that movie again. It does not hold up.
Okay, I have two quick movie reviews. This is not on the outline.
Okay.
Crazy Rich Asians is an...
What's that about, by the way?
About Crazy Rich Asians.
Got it.
It is a total rom-com. It could be Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker running around.
So the basis is this girl is dating a young man who is a very well-off family.
Wait, have you seen it?
I saw the I saw one of the award shows.
Yeah, the Golden Globes.
They did like a thing. Yeah. There's a, you know, and they do like the quick synopsis.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's a nice movie to watch with your wife. It's very romantic. Ken Jeong, our buddy, is in it.
Okay, that helps a lot.
Okay, the other movie I saw was Venom. Now, do you remember it's a superhero movie? And you won't even see the good superhero movies. This was a pan superhero movie where Tom Hardy becomes like this weird alien guy. That's all you need to know. But the bad guy was Riz Ahmed from The Night Of.
Love Riz Ahmed.
The girlfriend was Michelle Williams, the serious actress.
Wow.
There has never been a person more miscast in a superhero movie than Michelle Williams. Like, she was like, you could see in her face, what am I doing in this CGI awful movie?
She should be in a reboot of Our Town. Not,
I know.
Not,
exactly,
not Venom.
Exactly. It's about time they rebooted Our Town. So those are two
that
movies.
Was a pull of the year for me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know if they ever made a movie of that. So those are my two. Have you seen anything that needs to be reviewed?
On TV over the past year, my wife got me into this show called You. It's on Lifetime.
Oh, so that just came on Netflix, by the way.
Okay.
And I am pitching Sarah hard.
Have you seen it?
I watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode. I'm hooked.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it. You is based off a series of books. It's about a young man who works at a bookstore, a vintage bookstore, antique bookstore in New York City, and he falls for a girl. And it's both funny and dark at the same time. I'm not exactly huge on those Lifetime movies and shows. I can't believe it's on Lifetime with how dark this is. It's pretty freaking good because it goes from absurdity to funny to disturbing all within the same hour. I think it's well worth watching.
So Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl is
in it. Very
he's
funny.
Actually very good. And he's in Margin Call.
Love him in Margin Call.
He's actually a pretty serious actor. The producers of this produced the show Riverdale, which is like the modern dark version of Archie that my wife and I watch. I mean, this is like...
Would you recommend that?
Riverdale, if you're 19, if you're 16, yes.
19's a little high?
Yeah. All right. Let's ask the young producer. Riverdale, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Our producer, Gino, is here. He works at Sacred Heart.
Thumbs down?
Riverdale's thumbs down?
Well, I think for me... I mean,
what are you, about 23?
Yeah, I'm 23, but my girlfriend, my sister watch it, so... I think they like it. I mean, I'm just not into that.
Oh, look at you, tough guy.
Would you sit with your girlfriend and watch it and be like, oh, this stinks, or like, this isn't so bad?
I'd probably say it isn't so bad, but it's not something I would like go to first.
What are you watching, like Sopranos or like some like house building show? What's going on?
Game of Thrones, that type of thing.
I mean, building Alaska?
No, my dad watches a lot of the, like Alaskan Bush People type shows. He loves those, but I don't know.
Wait, Alaskan Bush People type
shows? There's a lot of shows like that. Yeah, I think it's called.
I think that's what it's called. It's called Alaskan.
I don't think he's making that up. I think it's an actual term.
So I was just Riverdale shamed, and that's okay. Yeah.
Gino's getting us in touch with a younger demo there. That helps.
By the way, that show that's in Paul's house at all times, that Alaska show.
I have an alert when a new Maine Cabin Master
comes on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. If someone's building a yurt on TV, Paul is watching.
I'm there. Hey, one more thing. If you, a little Leishman tip, throwback. If you never saw the TV series The Night Of with Riz Ahmed, it's about a young man who gets, I don't really want to tell anything about it because I don't want to spoil it anyway. Yeah, I read a little bit about it the other day because I've been watching from season one to season seven, I guess, of Sopranos. I'm watching every episode again, one a day. And it's really fun. It's interesting because the way I think of The Sopranos now is different than I did when I watched it in the late 90s when it first came out. In the late 90s, like, who's gonna get whacked this week? And now I see more like, man, Gandolfini Shocker is freaking good. There are episodes where his whole demeanor is so different than other. There's other characters in that show that are much more caricatures, like Pauly and Silvio. But man, Gandolfini, it's one of those things. He was never really known for anything before. Did a few things during and a few things after before he passed away. But what a legacy he has.
Unbelievable. I read some lists this week because a lot of people are talking about Sopranos, that like the Mount Rushmore of TV actors, and you, how could you possibly not put him on there?
Right, and he's going to be famous for a long time, not just because the show's good, but because of the direction that television took because of him and that show. But it's all him. I mean, the show is 98% about him. There's very few scenes he's not in.
Absolutely. So since we bring it up, let's borrow from our friends Big Cat and PFT. Do you have a Mount Rushmore of TV actors? I'll go off the top of my head.
TV actors? Of just
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's been out there this week. All right, I'll just give you mine. Gandolfini. Carol O'Connor as Archie Bunker.
Wow.
I read that.
So it's for the role.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
okay.
Ted Danson as Sam Malone on Cheers.
You're taking all my draft picks. Can we have a draft?
No. And obviously, Costanza on Seinfeld for me.
Okay. I'll go James Gandolfini. My one seed is Alan Alda on MASH.
Oh. See, I was more of a. You know, you like Hawkeye. I like Trapper John more.
Which one? The earlier or later one?
No, that's B.J. Honeycutt. B.J. Honeycutt. Remember the spinoff of Trapper John that was always off after CBS football on Sunday night? Gino has no idea what we're talking about there.
I would say, so I'm going Gandolfini as Tony Soprano. I'm going to go Alan Alda as Hawkeye Pierce.
Good one.
I'm considering Don Draper.
John Hamm.
From Mad Men.
Wow.
I love Mad Men. I can't get enough of it.
Can't go wrong there.
I think.
It's not, by the way, we're not able to Google here and like come up with any help here, so we're just going off the top of our head.
And then I'm going to have to go coach Eric Taylor on Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not in there, but.
Well, you know,
I have three right now.
Shelley Long is Diane. For some reason, he's a Gandolfini, we're thinking man, but
there
are a lot of unbelievable. You know, this is hard.
I need some prep time on this.
Who's the guy who played the janitor on One Day at a Time?
Schneider?
Schneider. Who played Schneider? He was good.
What a thespian.
How about...
Chachi?
How about the Fonz?
Well, even though maybe you can goof on Henry Winkler for that character, there was no famous person in America except for maybe the President of the United States than Arthur Fonzarelli in the late 70s. I don't know.
By the way, talk about an acting job. Have you ever, I follow him on Twitter. He's the nicest, most gentle man in the world.
Right.
He's not the Fonz.
And have you seen him in this new show?
Barry. Yeah.
Barry with
yes.
Bill Hader. Bill, that's a good show.
That's a good show. We're missing so many in this Mount Rushmore. We might have to come back.
We come back. I need a little prep time. I need to talk to my people.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks a lot for listening to the Leisure Podcast. Download, subscribe, review, and Gino will fill you in on the stuff that the 18-year-olds are doing. All right, talk to you later. Man.